Welcome back to the Film Experience Podcast. I know we have not been around, but we're back, and I'm here with Nick Davis.
It's like The Secret in Their Eyes, where we come back as our older selves, it's been so long.
The boyfriend didn't believe me that Nicole Kidman was in that movie.
Because it just seems like too awful to contemplate, or he just felt like he would have heard it if that were true.
That, plus he was watching the commercial. He's like, no, it's just Julia Roberts. It's like a monologue movie. Because every shot in the commercial is Julia Roberts. I'm like, did you even catch that she would tell that J4 is in it? And he's like, no.
We would like Julia to play all the parts. I'm sure her agent tried.
We were just discussing offline that I'm actually really far behind, even though I feel like I'm ahead because of screeners and festivals and things like that. I'm actually really far behind because I haven't seen a bunch of things that opened, like Spectre and Peanuts and Our Brand is Crisis and all these things. How has your movie going been? Have you been seeing everything, or are you behind?
Well, let's see. We haven't really done one of these since like October, maybe, right?
Yeah, we had an unexpected hiatus.
Yeah. Well, no, whatever. But so yeah, I guess I've been steady. Like there aren't that many left. I feel like I have to see before the year's over.
Yeah, I just looked it up. Our last podcast. Oh wow, we're really far behind. Was on The Martian.
The Carol one, right?
The Martian and Carol. And Carol's now in theaters, so perhaps in a strange way we're right on time.
Not in Chicago, not in Boston, not in D.C. It got pushed at the last minute from this Friday to December 18th.
Huh. I seriously wonder what the strategy is, because it's one of those movies that's been, it had so much attention in the summer.
Yeah.
And there's so many movies that just lose all that heat from Cannes. And
although it seems like there's been tons of heat still, although I can't tell if it's just because my Twitter feed is totally self-selecting and that this is the kind of everybody I know talks about all the time, but my pet theory is that The Hateful Eight is bad and Weinstein knows it and this is their only December prospect, but that's probably wrong.
Well, I have heard from the grapevine. Through the grapevine.
Yeah.
That I shouldn't say much, but I have heard from someone who would have enthused about it had it been great. So a very big Tarantino fan was like, it's fine.
Uh-huh.
Who had an opportunity to see it, early.
Maybe I'm a genius then.
The fact that this person was not enthused when, they... don't try to guess who it was. None of you know this person. It's somebody who has never guest starred on the Film Experience in any capacity, but let's just say they saw it very early and they love him and they were like, eh.
Just admit it, it's Daryl Hannah. We know. In LA for weeks.
I'm not personally expecting that much, but then again, I did not think Django Unchained was very good, and that had a million Oscar nominations and wins. So what do I know about Tarantino love amongst the broader film community?
I started coughing right when you said Django Unchained had wins.
Well timed.
So what's your favorite thing that's opened since we last talked?
Well, Carol, obviously. But since we've already talked about it, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Room.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't think you are. You have been very sort of quiet about it, even though you've talked about it on Twitter. You haven't really talked about your own reaction. Your tweets about it have been weirdly about other people's reactions to it. Like, because you showed it to your film group that you run, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Did I post about that? I didn't remember that.
You tweeted about it briefly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I did get a second time to teach it to talk about it with them. So that was like a month between screenings. Have you seen it more than once now,
I've
too?
seen it more than once, yeah.
Okay. I guess I just find it sort of pushy emotionally, and the I don't know what to say. Like, it doesn't do everything it could to kind of force your emotions. And sometimes on the second viewing, it seemed to me like if you took the music out, there wouldn't really be as much of a problem. But I feel like its sense of like life in both halves of the movie, of like what's going on in that world and what is the history of that space and what are these relationships, just feel kind of vague sometimes. And the middle bit of the escape seems like kind of actively bad movie making. There are things that I like about the movie, and I like the kind of basic bond between her and the kid.
She's quite gifted with child actors. I mean, I know
Yeah.
you weren't a big fan of Short Term 12 either, but.
Yeah, but she hasn't. She isn't the reason either time, and neither have been the child actors. I don't know what do you love about it?
I mean, I love the chemistry between the actors. Like the like even I'm a huge Joan Allen fan, but I was a little perplexed that people wanted to talk about Joan Allen so much in it because she's not in the movie very much, and it
Yeah.
doesn't give her that much of an opportunity to really do anything interesting. Even within the limited screen time, but nevertheless, people are loving her in it, which, I'm happy that she's having a minor, revival in that sense. But the second time through, I will say things, the smaller things that I wasn't concentrating on, like the first time through, like Joan Allen, I did appreciate more, like, that I could see that how they were filling the spaces that needed to be filled in the movie, because the movie starts, it's one of these movies that starts very narrow and then sort of expands, just by its very nature. And I'm not even just talking about the physical space, but the emotional space too. And so I liked the second half more on second viewing, but the first half I liked more on first viewing. Like, I can't.
More comparing the two of them, or
No,
more.
more comparing my own reactions. Like, I didn't. The only thing that I was slightly disappointed in the second time is I didn't. We've talked about this before with other movies, or at least you have talked about it recently in terms of your Todd Haynes reactions, that Far From Heaven is the one you go back to least because you feel like you learned everything there is to know about it compared to his other movies. And I felt that way a little bit with this. Like, I wasn't sure that, lots of repeat viewings will give me anything more than what I got the first time, which was quite a lot. But it was sort of all there for me, if that makes sense. But I liked the second half more in the sense that I didn't really sort of receive everything there was to receive on it the first time.
From
But
the second.
I really do love the movie. But you're sort of agnostic about it.
Yeah, maybe it just has to do with like it seems to move kind of fast. Like, to be able to, for both timelines seem to move kind of fast. Like, I don't have the sense of them having been in the room as long as they've been there. It just seems like the conceit the movie's fulfilling, maybe to us, they're long enough for that to feel like where the movie has fully pushed things out. So it makes me feel like, so what's really going to hit the fan is when they get out of here, and that's tough. But then getting out there feels a little bit accelerated too, and that tough, especially for the kid. Like the opening scene in the hospital, which is so creepy and space station-y and sterile, I was like, okay, here we go. Like, this is a movie that's gonna see the outside world as not entirely comfortable. But the kid does pretty well pretty fast, and she kind of needs him too, so he can save her or whatever. But the movie kind of needs him too, so that it can. I don't know. The emotional transitions just seemed like awfully rapid, and a little bit flat to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the Danny Cohen shot, and then it didn't look like the King's Speech, which lets us know who's been driving that train. He can have people in the center of the frame. It's awesome.
Yeah, I will say that. I did some room interviews recently that will be published soon, and I didn't have the opportunity to interview him because of, you know, scheduling wise.
Yeah.
But I remember thinking, oh, I would not have expected this from him.
Yeah. Which is I didn't know who shot.
Yeah, which is always a nice feeling when you've not been as previously enthused about someone who's been Oscar nominated.
Yeah.
Because I'm still baffled by that particular Oscar nomination.
Yes.
But at least he's proven now that he actually there's more to him than the King's Speech. Now, I will say of the recent movies that have opened, the one that is the least clear in my memory because I saw it so very long ago is Brooklyn. So I'm like, I really, really loved it at Sundance, but I have not seen it since. But I've been kind of excited that so many people have liked it, but I actually have no concept of whether or not you like it.
I did like it, and I was really not even excited about it. And yeah, I liked it a lot, especially. Like, any time I was shaky about it was pretty early exposition stuff in Ireland.
Yeah.
And then like, the end is clearly making a choice to be pretty truncated, but I thought that was my favorite choice. But the whole middle, I really liked a lot. Even when, and there were things I thought were, like, relatively designed audience gratification, and I felt totally gratified by them, and then other things that I thought were riskier and harder, and I liked too. So yeah, fan.
So you're a measured fan of that one. You're not like absolutely wild about it, obviously.
Yeah, like I wasn't like doing backflips or whatever.
Because some people are. So it's a distinction to make.
I mean, maybe I just also led with the things that I felt more reserved about. I think Emery Cohen is fantastic in it. And
okay, then let's talk about him because I don't.
Okay.
And I've heard this from so many people now. Maybe it's just my prior aversion to him, because I have, like, he's downright taken me out of, you know, other movies that I've seen him in, because I thought it was...
Good.
Well, also, I mean, I thought he was terrible in Smash. I thought he was terrible in Place Beyond the Pines. So he has been an actor that I've sort of been worried every time I've seen him. And I liked him in this, but I don't, like, the reaction to his performance has been from people at, not in general, most people are talking about Saoirse, but among, like, film critics that I'm close to or that I respect a lot, I've noticed this sort of passion for him in it,
yeah.
And that is escaping me a little. Like, I don't know what people are responding to. Like, I thought he was serviceable. Like, it didn't take me out of the movie, and I enjoyed their rapport and stuff, but I don't quite get why people are excited about him in it.
I guess one thing I really liked about him was that I felt like Sharon in the beginning seemed a little stiff and conscious and kind of visibly preoccupied with having a lead role in a big movie or something. Like, it just, she felt really, I can't think of a good word for it, but I didn't really see her settling into a character. Mm-hmm. And once around, like, I thought that the scenes became about their rapport with each other, but not because he was fighting her for the scenes. Like, it still felt like the emphasis was clearly on her. Maybe because I only know him from Place Beyond the Pines, and he's so mannered in that. Mm-hmm. While expecting the character to be so kind of simple and direct, but so sweet and kind of convincing me that this was a 50s shy guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he really brought out something much more, I thought, relaxed and interesting from her as well.
Okay. I mean, I will say his previous roles, particularly Place Beyond the Pines, had me convinced that he was like a bad guy for part of the movie. I was like, he's too... No, I mean, because I knew nothing about it. I know it's a famous novel, but I had not read it. I really knew nothing about the project. And I assumed he was like a cad and she was going to realize it. Because, you know, if the relationship was so whirlwind, I thought, what is she doing? So I was happily surprised at the trajectory of the movie and that I misjudged him.
Yeah.
But that's as far as I would go in terms of, like, liking him.
Yeah.
But
did you like Domhnall Gleeson?
I did, but I kind of always do. Like, I enjoy him as an actor.
And you liked her?
Oh, I loved her. I mean, I thought she... It was one of these things where it's very like an old school movie star performance in that it doesn't feel like particularly like method. It just feels like sort of being on screen in a way. Like she doesn't seem to be overexerting herself, which I really liked, and her arc is. It's true that the end is kind of truncated and fast, but I really bought the cumulative arc of the character. You know, I love it when the actors' careers line up exactly with the role, but you're not like, oh, they're just being themselves. It was such a perfect mix of the exact moment in her career and her sort of life, given her age. I mean, I thought the casting was extraordinarily perfect, I thought, and so watching her come into her own as like a movie star as opposed to just an actress was to me really exciting, and I thought really dovetailed perfectly with what the movie was trying to say about I always forget the character's name. Eilish. About Eilish coming into her own as like a woman and not a daughter and a sister and, you know?
Yeah.
So it like the fusion of those two things was from like the standpoint of someone who really values sort of movie stars and you know, screen charisma and, you know, performance and things like I thought was just really beautiful. And okay. So I'm all in her corner about that. I think it's the right movie at the right time, and I think she's very good in it.
One I felt a little mixed about was that, well, I one thing I liked was that we have so little access to why it's keeping the marriage a secret in Ireland, and like, I, you know, you can think about reasons in the abstract, but it's not totally clear why that character is going out of her way to not mention anything about this.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually I got kind of interested in that she is somebody, the character plays things so casually and seems so relaxed, and she wasn't playing like I have a secret.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, she's just not saying anything. So that made all of her casualness and other moments seem really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I did feel like the narrative was a bit disappointing in terms of like having used that Bree Brennan character to pull kind of dastardly blackmail that forces the decision at the end. Like I really would have liked to watch the movie where Eilish had to decide. And the way it's written, the circumstances kind of help her right along with that. And kind of in the direction that you can sense the audience might be rooting for.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, in addition to the fact that we just don't spend much time, I realize this is, well, spoiler territory, but we don't spend a whole lot of time back home. Just the way in which things start to get wrapped up felt a little expedient to me.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you kind of had the same reservations a little bit about both Room and Brooklyn.
With the exception that, like, through the long, long middle of Brooklyn, felt like it wasn't doing that. Like, there wasn't a ton of
hotter incident happening, and I was just getting to like learn the characters on their own terms, which is what I wanted more of in Room, I guess.
Okay. So the other big one that we haven't discussed, that we've both seen is Spotlight.
Oh yeah.
Now it's funny. I saw this back to back with, I think literally back to back with Truth with Cate Blanchett. In Toronto, and I remember at the time thinking I didn't quite get why people didn't like Truth that much. I have since seen Truth again, because the boyfriend wanted to see it, and he did not like it, which surprised me because, you know, it's right in his wheelhouse because he loves politics and, you know.
It's not French.
But, and then he didn't even really like Cate Blanchett in it. And he was just like, you're just obsessed with icy blondes with stentorian voices. That's what he told me.
Yeah, our partner, they've totally nailed us, but they don't always know. I'll just say that. Don't put us in a box.
Don't what?
Don't put us in a box. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't think... I was just surprised that I'm finally in Cate Blanchett's corner, because I've been such an agnostic for so long with her that I was really surprised to hear someone saying, why are you so excited about Cate Blanchett? And I will admit that watching it a second time, like, the seams of, you know, where it's not good show a lot more. But I just thought it was one of those movies that, I mean, I never thought it was great, but it was one of those movies that was very, I thought, entertaining for all of its limitations. I thought it was, like, a good, like, movie star movie.
Yep.
But, you know, not a lot of people seem to feel that way, and it had a fast fade, so.
Super fast, yeah. Like, not quite as outwardly bleak as Our Brand is Crisis being pulled from 1,700 theaters when it wasn't expected to be. Like, was bad. But, yeah, like, not only came it really fast, but in my size market in Chicago, like, it barely, it was here on the screen. It was playing in theaters on, like, one full screen for a week, and then, like, half that screen the next week, and then that was it. So there are people who've been looking forward to seeing who don't even realize it's already come and gone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to think anymore of distribution. You know, I said for a long time that I worried that the studios were sort of painting themselves into a corner with their sort of, like, rigidity about which type of movies can come out which months of the year.
Yeah.
But, and that problem has been going on for a really long time, and I felt like I understood that problem for a really long time, but the slow, drawn-out release of anything that's meant for adults has, I think, really fucked with people's perceptions of when a movie is even going to be available to them, to the point where I actually don't think people actively look for particular movies, they just assume it's not out.
Right.
Which is a huge problem for the movie industry, and they don't seem to realize it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, I mean, I know that, like, I know I have self-selecting circles, we've talked about this too, but I know with, like, Steve Jobs, like, at least from the reading I had done, I fully expected that was going wide the second weekend, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they changed the plans to have, like, a minor expansion and then the wide opening, but I could have sworn it was 1 week and then everywhere. So I was acting like it was everywhere, and then it wasn't, and it had another really strong a limited weekend, and then it, you know, sort of, people say it flopped or whatever in wide release. Flop is a strong word, especially since it made more than a lot of movies that people don't call flops, but I just don't think people anymore trust that a movie will be playing anywhere near them. And I think that's like, I mean, even things like Brooklyn, who everyone I've talked to, which is, because I've been traveling so much, has been quite a lot of people, loves that movie. And yet I was surprised to realize it wasn't in that many theaters. And then I read somewhere some random tweet from someone in a non-major market that, oh, it's already leaving my theater and I didn't get a chance to see it. And I'm like, what?
Really? That's crazy. Wow.
And I know like Room has had sort of similar things where it's sort of expanded but really hasn't. And so like I don't understand what's going on anymore, and the fact that people like us have trouble understanding like what you're saying about Carol, like was you thought it was going to be in Chicago at one point, and Chicago is a major market, and now it's not till Christmas, and it's like I really don't think anyone has any concept of it anymore, and I think that's really hurting box office for adult films.
And like with those women that I lead the film discussion group for, it's the same problems take on the opposite face where they think everything is playing all the time. So there are things that closed 2 months ago that they're like, "Oh, I want to go see that." It's like, "Well, honey, no, that that wrapped in like July 1st." But then also like, "What do you think I should see this week? Should I go see like that new Jennifer Lawrence movie, like that coming out a month?" And like, it's not that they don't follow the movie; like, they definitely do, but the meat saturation levels just don't correspond with booking
Yeah,
at
they
all.
don't at all. I mean, if you think about how much, like I've been a little surprised at how much press Carol has gotten given the protraction between the protracted time period when it was not available to people. And then I've been a little surprised at how much attention it's gotten this weekend because it's only at four theaters. Like, that's not that many people are going to be able to see it. So it's going to have the same problem. And I don't know, is everyone waiting for like Golden Globe nominations to be wide?
Well, I am trying to figure out if like it's part of the whole nobody has any idea at all what are the runners for awards right now that is making everybody be all skittish, and all these movies that would seem like competitors are kind of out but not out, and I don't know what kind of like crazy panicking is going on in terms of how things are scheduled. But Brooklyn, even more than something like Room, seems like you could float that to huge different audiences, different parts of the country, and really do well with it. Like
And not
the
even in terms of like it being an Oscar movie.
yeah totally I mean, it might help if it had a different title, if it was going to play in the rest of the country. But that aside, like anybody who's going to go see that movie, I feel like is going to like it, by and large. Room, I understood, like every single woman in my group said, "I would not have seen this if you hadn't assigned it. It's too upsetting as a premise." So I get why that has to be a little more careful. But yeah, it's a kind of bewildering season, especially when you feel like there are all these interesting buzz movies out, and then I look at the listings for this weekend, and none of the movies I'm thinking of are playing. And what's in the
But
theater is
Secret in Their Lies is.
Secret in Their Lives. That's awesome. Or like, yeah, like when I went to the movie theater last a couple days ago, I can't even remember what I saw. And there were tons of people there, and they were all still seeing The Martian. Like, okay, God,
Yeah.
like, you're
No,
not
and
done with
like,
that.
yeah, and I realize like, certain people we know, like our boyfriends or our, other friends who aren't movie obsessed. we like sometimes giggle about things that they're not aware of, but it's a real problem if the public is not aware of things, like, and you expect to get them to give you money. Like my best friend, who's very into sort of like genre, if he's into movies at all, which he's not. But if he is, if he will go to something, it's almost always because it's some genre, like, horror, fantasy, or sci-fi or something, right? So he wanted to see Crimson Peak, and he had a business trip the week it opened, right? And so we never ended up seeing it. And just yesterday, like we were, having brunch or whatever, he's like, "Oh, let's go see Crimson Peak tonight." And I'm like, "That's not out anymore." Like I was like, "Why would you think that would still be out?" He was like, "But we were just discussing it." I'm like, "That was like a month ago, and it flopped."
Well, I was kind of I was a little bit startled by the quickness with which it, I don't know what I mean by the media, but it seemed like the media got really into the narrative of like October was a box office bloodbath, and like you're saying, everything was a total flop, even things that were like probably underperforming compared to the hopes of the studios.
Right.
But did they have to be instantaneously, drawn, or just like sit in theaters with this reputation as having been completely spurned? Just
So yeah, they're sitting in theaters giving this wallflower reputation.
yeah. So some of them, like our brand is prices. That was amazing watching Warner just be like, "No, sorry, this didn't happen," and just like take it back. And then Crimson Peak was here for like a month, which is good because that is how I finally saw it. But only playing like one showing a night and just sitting there, like, nobody wants to date me. Like, my parents aren't going to pick me up until like 10, so I just have to sit here. Like, but clearly, I was behind somebody in the box office who was like deciding what to see, like those alien people who don't know what they want to see when they show up. And they're like, oh, I think I heard that's like a haunted house movie, but I heard it's really bad. And that was the only thing they knew about it, was that they'd heard it was really bad.
Right.
And there were just so many articles in October that just painted everything as awful that, I don't know, it seemed a little vengeful. I don't know.
Yeah, the media sometimes is like completely schizophrenic about these things, because then they complain when Hollywood doesn't make these types of movies, and then they're ready to, crucify them if they don't have a blockbuster opening weekend.
Right.
Which is weird, because unless something has a superhero, it or is has a number in the title, it is not usually a blockbuster in its opening weekend. It usually
Right.
takes time.
Right.
Like even like I people it even seemed to me like at first that people were snarky about Bridge of Spies.
Yeah.
And that it's fine, it's doing well. That's like all Spielberg things. They slow and steady. They play every weekend until they're gone from theaters. And people go
Especially that kind, yeah.
Yeah, and people go see them. Like it's opening weekend for things like a Spielberg movie for adults that is gonna keep playing and do well. Like it
Right.
doesn't have to open to $100 million.
Right.
And then I even heard stuff about like I do not like this movie at all. I haven't discussed it on the blog or whatever, but I even heard that Black Mass was a flop. And I'm like, I'm not sure how $62 million opening in September, which is supposed to be the worst box office month.
Yes.
How is that a flop?
Right.
How is $62 million in September a flop?
Yeah, particularly for that project. Yeah.
I don't get
Like
it. Have you
where we
seen
all
Black Mass?
yeah, whatever. I mean, I thought it was okay, but I had the exact same reaction I've had to all of Scott Cooper's movies by now, where I feel like you are able, something you do on this is really good, and convince actors to do things that they don't always do, or and they always quite loyal to him, but it just doesn't translate into a movie that plays to me. It just feels like an acting workshop
Right.
with better and worse results.
Yeah, I mean I find his movie, yeah, I even find the acting in his movies wildly uneven.
Totally.
So I'm a little surprised he has this reputation as like this great actor's director.
Yeah.
Or at least among actors he seems to have that because everyone is in this movie. And like I alternated, I don't know how you felt about particular performances in that movie, but I alternated between thinking Joel Edgerton was great and absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
He was like, there were moments where I was like, oh, this is a really sly performance, and then other moments where I was just like, oh, dude, you are not in a theater playing to like the nosebleed. Like, there's no
And
one
also, we're
who
not
could be in the room
right.
with you who wouldn't see how you're lying right now.
Exactly. And like, the audience totally has all the information. You don't need to, whatever you're playing that you think is a surprise is not a surprise to us. So.
So I realized as we were our conversation was wandering so much, I brought up Bridge of Spies and then we didn't actually discuss
And that
it.
was after bringing up Spotlight, which we never discussed
Oh,
either.
right.
Yeah.
So really quickly, I need to see Spotlight again because I saw it in the same exact theater that I saw Room in. in Toronto, and I know you've been to this theater, and it's the worst. Princess of Wales, which is where I saw Spotlight. And so Spotlight is so dialogue focused
Oh, yeah.
that I really felt I was missing great sort of script beats, because the sound would be a little weird. And Room, it was actively working against Room because so much of Room comes from that voiceover. And the voiceover, it's already sort of like precious in the sound design. And then it gets, and in the theater where it has this weird echo, it makes it even more sort of like overpowering, but also less clear. So it was really good to see Room again to hear what the sound was actually doing. So anyway, that was a long way of saying I need to see Spotlight again, but I liked it quite a lot. But the weird thing about it to me was that it felt like it had no conflict. Like it was just one success after another, even though the success is gross because like the topic is so tough. So it's not like they're enjoying their successes, but it felt like success after success after success, the end.
That helps me understand why. I mean, Derek and I saw it together, and I liked everything about it, but and so he's like, "So what grade would you give it?" And I was like, "I'm giving it B plus." He's like, "We've just talked for 20 minutes about how I liked everything about the movie." It's like I did, but I didn't leave it. I mean, and I understand the movie's trying to be sort of understated, but there was something about it I just didn't feel, evangelized by. Wow, I didn't know movies could do that. Like it, and you're helping me realize why it did. It did, by comparison to Truth, which is a little bit shoddier as a movie, but. There were some mistakes, directly.
Like there's this. They do. They pay a lot of lip service in Spotlight to how powerful the church is, and how like you don't want to get involved in this because, it could destroy your life. But then nobody's even really threatened. Where I thought it was going to be like, like people could like in some movies like people. Have death threats, people, when they mix in things that they're not allowed to be mixing in, And it's not like I want cheap theatrics, but I kind of want to feel like there's something at stake.
I mean, the argument for it was that I was interested in the fact that the movie seemed to, excuse me, kind of be implying that this story was just sitting, not even implying, sometimes it says it. This story has just been sitting, waiting to be explored. Yes, there are some documents that are sealed and some things that are requiring a little bit of, some finesse and strategizing. But large part, if you would get off your asses and ask questions,
The story's there,
it's
yeah.
all sitting for you. Yeah. So, like, in a way, the thing that we're carping about seemed like maybe a virtue. But
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
yeah, I admired everything about it. I think it's really good. I'm really glad that people are supporting it. I just don't have a ton of like everybody has to go see this. Or maybe too, there was a sense of, and I don't know if it's unfair to demand this from movies, but it just felt like you could, in a relatively uncomplicated way. I mean, as much as the movie does try to take stock of like the globe itself has made many mistakes here and is guilty in part for why this hasn't come out, you still can kind of sit through that movie and be like the media, like we need good journalism again. And again, compared to Truth, where it's like, would it have been better to let a 95% true story that we kind of fast-tracked that could have stopped him getting elected, isn't that kind of better than 100% journalistic standards? Was it really dicey? But I liked that it was dicey, like it wasn't really hard to agree or disagree
Yeah, I thought it
with.
was asking, Truth was asking a lot more difficult questions. But I agree, it's not as good of a movie, but like, I was sad that people were so just negative about it because whether, even within its flaws, I think there's a lot that's worth like discussing about it. So yeah, so that I mean, but we're selling Spotlight short because it is really well crafted,
It's really, really good. Yeah, totally.
and the aspects that we're talking about that sort of excuse what we're complaining about are actually really strong. Like that, the whole like arc of the Michael Keaton character, I think, was superbly handled.
Me too.
And that part felt high stakes to me, but in a very unusual way for a movie. High stakes
Yeah.
in terms of self-assessment,
Yes.
which is kind of an unusual thing for a movie to make its highest stake.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, I really liked it. I guess maybe it's the oversized reputation things get whenever they're deemed like front runner. That I was like, yeah, it's really good, but.
Yeah,
Where you
yeah.
don't necessarily feel that nitpicky when something is, when something is trashed.
Right.
Like, yeah, truth is like, it has problems, but come on, guys.
Yeah, we're all defensive of a movie that I'm sure if forced to choose, it's not even the one I would choose, but it was interesting. And I know that you and I maybe have a kind of we will often go for the slightly more flamboyant movie,
Yeah.
all other things being equal. And I did like that Spot managed to be about a group of people who truly don't want to be the story, and even in their own movie are like, nope.
Yeah.
Like, it's not gonna get bigger. I'm not gonna, even Mark Ruffalo's one kind of like, what the fuck? Wasn't as like huge. It didn't feel like he was inheriting the movie.
Right.
I liked that about Spotlight a lot. And they even were saying with the Keaton conversion, it's like not that I assumed that character was going to become more obviously central as like the lead at some point, and that so doesn't happen.
Right.
But you get everything anyway.
And
I also kept chuckling during the movie, and Derek was like, "What is funny?" Like after we left, because we're not animals. He didn't ask me during. But he was like, "You like giggled a couple times." I was like, "Yeah, I just was loving the costume design," and he thought I was kidding, but. It was like going into those big meeting rooms where it's like 20 guys who bought their khakis in exactly the same mall a while ago. They got four of the same ones just to keep them going, because they won't have to come back. And like, like all these little, well, I roll my sleeves up 3/4. Oh, I go half. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Like, I just thought it was hilarious.
And that's all the time we have this time, so we missed talking about Bridge of Spies. Maybe next time. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you next week.